When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Hello, everybody. John Kincaid Show continues here on CBS Sports Radio. And glad to have Seth Everett joining us. Major League Baseball insider. Sports with Friends is one that if I would suggest to you, there is something that you need to give yourself a listen. It is well worth your time. Seth Everett joins us here on the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, Seth?
What's going on, my friend? How you been?
Very excited. Very excited for the start of baseball season because to me, it's like the background music of around half my year. The dependability of being able to listen to baseball, because to me, not only because I work in the Braves flagship, but being able to listen to baseball to me is one of the most calming experiences. I like a little cocktail at night. Listen, sit outside when it's not too hot. Listen to a baseball game. Put that MLB at Bat app to me is the best thing that I spend money on in sports any year.
That's so funny that you brought that up because I have a complaint and I.
What about?
I'm a cord cutter, right? I have
okay.
No cable TV. I am
That's
all
fine.
Apps. Apple TV is the way. MLB at Bat app. I can watch any live game I want. Where's MLB Network? And where's your highlight videos that you put on the phones and the iPads?
Okay, so you're asking them to expand that. You see,
all
I have not.
All I'm saying is you have the technology. You're MLB.com. Like, you're the pioneer for all this. The Sunday Ticket app is based on MLB.com's business model. And you can't, I make jokes about MLB Network because it's, if a tree falls and no one's there to hear it, how do you know they're even on? But I literally can't watch MLB Network because I don't, and I have all the packages, and it's bizarre.
But it still keeps you from it. All right, let me ask you something. Is that if you were to say to me, John, there's something you're going to see in April from a team, from a player standpoint, it can be whatever you wish, that you can take to the bank is going to mean something in August. Is there anything? Or do we just let a season breathe a bit and try to evaluate before we decide what we think we know about teams, players, organizations, and the such?
Yeah, there's two answers to that. Because, number one, I don't look at the standings until Memorial Day.
Okay.
I don't want to care. I don't read too much into it. Although, I am also the guy who, when you blow games in the ninth inning, or if you miss opportunities, you have, bases loaded, nobody out, three straight times, I always say that's the game that will haunt you when you don't win in September. That being said, I just think that there is a clear dichotomy in baseball of the haves and the have-nots, and there's probably about eight or nine teams that are on the fringe of being haves, and I just think that that's what you'll know. I don't think there's any delusions of grandeur. Pittsburgh's going to struggle. San Francisco's going to struggle. I'm not trying to pick on those teams. I think those are realities. The questions that I would love to know is, how improved are the Rockies? Are the Diamondbacks going to give them a fight? Are there really four good teams in the NL East? Like, those kinds of questions you can ask early on. You just don't get the answers yet.
Alex Anthopoulos is being skewered in Atlanta because of the fact.
I saw the Braves guys. I was at the Braves Phillies on Thursday.
he's just being skewered saying, man, they didn't spend any money on this bullpen and look at it. And I said, so I've just been asking people to look at it. And I watched the Phillies gave out the biggest contract to any reliever this year, $23 million for 2 years to Robertson. Yeah. And I got to tell you, so far, I'm not going to make a judgment after two games, but you can spend money and your bullpen can be shaky, or you cannot spend money and go with young guys and your bullpen can be shaky.
But I think from the fans' perspective, the fact that Craig Kimbrell's still out there and he's a former Brave, it's different
sure.
when you talk about him in Milwaukee. Milwaukee, he's the great unknown, but in Atlanta, he's your guy and his best years
yes.
were there. So, I think that's part of the argument. If Craig Kimbrell signs with the Brewers, which I do predict will happen because Corey Knebel just went down for Tommy John surgery, and I do think Craig Kimbrell signs with the Brewers in the next 10 days. If that's the case, then Atlanta's going to sit there and moan, well, wait a second, he was dangling out there and you couldn't sign him. And he's probably a difference maker. But you're right. One player does not make a bullpen.
And he would not have been, and also, too, he wouldn't have been a part of winning you, trying to win you either of the first two games you lost.
No. He's probably not ready till May 1st. I mean,
correct.
At this point. But yeah, I understand the fans' angst. I like to see a rise out of that fan base, you know, whether it's positive or negative. And I just, when I was there, you know, a mutual friend of ours, Mark Bowman's a good buddy of mine, and
he's the best.
We were talking about just the idea that, you know, this is a team that, you know, was on the precipice of doing some great things, and a lot of people go with the logic that they will be better just by being a year older, not by making changes to the roster. And my argument to that is that's where fantasy baseball, to me, clouds people's judgment. Because people think that if there are players to be had and there's a draft to be had, well, how come I'm not making changes?
I was saying it before the season. I thought that the Braves would take a slight step back this year. But if you were asking me to bet on organizations for the next 5 years, Seth Everett joining us here on the John Kincaid Show, you give me 5 years, I'm loving the Braves top to bottom and what they've got in that organization, especially when they've got cash now to be able to lock down some of their own players.
Well, I thought last year they overachieved.
Sure they did.
And if you remember, the story of the East was Philly's collapse.
And the Nats under 500 on 4th of July. The Mets 14 games under on 4th of July. That was the story. They played in an East that was totally down last year.
Well, and I'm not sold on the Mets, nor am I, you know, worried about the Nationals too much. I think that if you've watched that series, I just think that, you know, Washington, the law of averages is Washington's pretty darn talented.
Sure.
And as far as the Mets are concerned, you know, if you're getting your 36-year-old second baseman to be your offensive star, that's all well and good, but, you know, I want to see the durability of that club.
Who do you, in the American League, let's talk a little American League baseball right now. Seth Everett joining us here on the John Kincaid Show. If, in the American League, everybody wants to get excited about, well, the Yankees, I'm hearing from everybody. Yankees is just, they might be the best team. And they very well might be the best team in baseball. But what do you think about the Yankees? If you were to compare them to last year, what do you think?
I think their pitching rotation's a big question mark. I mean, last year they had Severino, and this year, you know, they're not sure when they're going to have Severino back. Could be May 1st, could be May, you know, June 1st. You really don't know. And you know, I heard a line, you know, and I like Aaron Boone, so I don't want to be picking on him, but I heard him on some radio show, and he said, "Well, we just have to tread water until CeCe comes back." Well, I'm sorry, this is not 2009. Like That's not really the strategy here. I think two-fifths of their rotation is a major question, and they are going to try to just mash your way. Now, the good thing for them is they play some of the dregs, you know, in the early going in the schedule. But I think that, you know, push comes to shove. If you're going to pick a weakness, it's starting rotation. If you're going to pick a weakness in Boston, it's a relief pitcher. I still think Boston's a better team. I thought that last year. I picked the Red Sox last year. I picked them again this year. I just think the Red Sox, top to bottom, are a more complete team. And it's not that they are going to score more runs than the Yankees. This is what, you know, this is the argument that I get into with Yankee fans is I don't think the Yankees are not going to score a bunch of runs and have a lot of flashiness and be a great offensive stalwart. I just think that how many 9-8 games can you win, whereas the Red Sox will be able to score 7 runs and only give up 3. And that's a big difference in the way you win.
Can you take this topic sometime up on your podcast? I know you get into some real good conversations. Tony Clark has a players association that has, and I tried to do a little bit of a count this week. In the past month, I found around 50 Major League Baseball players. So we're talking about all the two full player rosters commenting on the labor negotiations and what's to come and why the owners are bad and everything. I think the Players Association has too many people speaking for them. And I got to tell you, 90% of the ones I hear speaking for the Players Association don't make much sense. Like, they don't understand economics.
Well, you know, for your audience, this is what I can tell you. I've met with the union 4 times. I would love to have Tony Clark on the podcast.
I would love to hear that.
Oh my God, he knows it. And I've talked to those guys, and I think maybe over the summer, I can make that happen. I know Tony pretty well, and he's a really good guy. Ironically, this week I met with Don Fear, who's okay. now the head of the NHL union, but he's just kind of grinning. At you know, I mentioned to Don Fear, I just said, "Do you see you know what's going on in baseball?" And he just kind of smiled and he said, "Yeah, there's not enough hours in the day."
Like, yes,
he just kind of let that lie. Here's what I believe: the league is starting to make efforts for labor talks early. The union has taken licensing money and deferred it so that players are not going to receive licensing money this year. Now, look, let's not cry for them. They're still going to make tons of money, but they're not going to get any licensing money. They're going to start a strike fund. So those two things are in place. I think the interesting part about where the union stands with all of this is not a numbers thing. This is not a what's the luxury tax threshold going to be. There are philosophical, diametrically opposed issues. I think free agency is going to be completely compromised. I think the word guaranteed contracts are going to be totally changed. I think there's going to be a radical change. Now, having said that, that's why what the union has told these players is all existing contracts will be grandfathered, no matter what deal we make. And because of that, Nolan Arenado, to me, is the best example. This is a guy who knew that the New York Yankees did not pursue Manny Machado because they wanted to talk to Nolan Arenado. And he still signed an 8-year contract extension with the Colorado Rockies, foregoing 3 years of free agency. And this is not a knock on the Rockies. I started in the Rockies organization. I love that organization. But for Nolan Arenado not to even consider free agency, because he has an ace up his sleeve that Bryce Harper and Manny Machado didn't have. He knows that the Yankees wanted him, and he still signed an extension. Sure, Trout signed the money. DeGrom signed the money. You're starting to see all these big contracts, because what's happened is these guys are saying, I need to be locked in as much as I can, because whatever new changes happen in a collective bargaining agreement, assuming they ever agree, it won't affect Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, and the like.
That's a very thoughtful response there. Everybody, go follow Seth Everett on Twitter. Make sure you're following and checking out the podcast, too. And you got a lot of fun things going on, so always stay in touch. And, Seth, we appreciate you checking in with us anytime.
I appreciate it, John. I'll talk to you soon.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.